Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Hey, I hope you caught last week's show. We did the show talking about multifamily investors and whether they need to worry about the demand in the market right now for single-family rentals. We talked about whether those are substitute goods and are we in head-to-head competition with each other. And I'm not going to reprise that show. If you miss that show, a lot of good information there. You can go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the radio tab, and catch that program. But there was a line in the article I was looking at with you that I did not hit on last week that I want to come back to because it poses an interesting question. And again, this article was talking about the demand right now for single family rentals, both from the renter's perspective, of course, but as well from big names like Blackstone Group. And about a month ago, they had bought a company that itself owned 17,000 single family houses. So what's going on out there? And again, multifamily investors, do we need to worry? Well, we worked on that question last week, so check out that show. But in an early part of the article, there was a statement, a sentence. I'm going to read it to you. It says, advocates contend that the single-family rental property sector is crucial to meeting demand for new housing, comma, but while there are also those who are blasting single-family rental investors, accusing them of forcing homeowners out of the market. That's what I want to focus on today. Are we, as investors, thinking about our local or maybe more or broader housing market as well as that housing stock that they are talking about and affordable housing, thinking about our neighborhoods, thinking about our communities and the cities where we live and operate, are we part of a bigger problem as single-family investors or multifamily investors? Are we part of a problem or are we actually part of a solution? Part of the solution, I should say. Again, going back to that sentence, advocates contend that the single-family rental property sector is crucial to meeting demand for new housing. Let's look at that and let's talk about how we, in fact, help meet that demand. Now, of course, as real estate investors, we're not doing this as pure altruists. There may be people out there that are part of organizations that do buy single family houses to rent out to parts of their organization that they are working to help. We're not pure altruists. There is a profit motive there for us. So you have to keep that in mind. I certainly agree with that. It's not the money. It's the lifestyle that we're trying to build, of course. But we do have those five ways that we make money at the back of our minds as we're going through this. So we're going to get into that. But first and foremost, though, I've got to get to a news item. Big in the news, I'm sure, whether you've been paying attention or not. It's been on your local news. It's been on the national news. And that is the expiry of the eviction moratorium. So we've had the CDC eviction moratorium in place for far too long, very long time. It was actually challenged at the Supreme Court level not too long ago. And the Supreme Court did, in fact, say that the CDC had exceeded their authority in putting this eviction moratorium into place. But hey, we've just got a month to go. It's going to expire July 31st. We're going to let it run its course. And that's what they did. Supreme Court did not force or compel the CDC to annul that moratorium at the time. Well, now it's come and it's gone. That deadline has passed. So the CDC eviction moratorium has in fact lapsed. Now, the president put it into the hands of the House, the Congress, to do something about that. In other words, pass legislation. Very last minute, handed that ball. Here, run with this, go. Fortunately, they were not able to get it done. The House did, in fact, they've adjourned for their August recess, which is a longer break without passing that legislation. So they've all gone on vacation. They have not extended that. And again, the CDC, based on the Supreme Court, they can no longer act unilaterally to reimpose that eviction moratorium. So if you've been dealing with residents that have not been paying, whether for good reason, COVID, or those that are simply taking advantage of the situation, well, that is now back open, at least at the federal level. Now, depending on where you're sitting, if you're in Texas compared to, say, California or Michigan, New York, you'll, of course, need to get in tune with your local jurisdiction. Your state may have other imperatives that are in place. Your county may have other imperatives that are in place as regards eviction moratoria. So do your due diligence there. If you've got a real estate attorney, certainly talk with them, see where you're at. But of course, bigger question is, do you have to evict? Do you have to go that route? Now, granted, we're very long into this process now, and if you've been dealing with this for an extended period of time, you may be at that point. Alternatives, of course, are to, if it's a newer situation that's developed, perhaps work with those residents, see what you can hash out, perhaps a payment plan. There are other options. And there is another option, in fact, and I want to bring this to your attention as well. This just was put out there into the market recently. The CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, they've released a search tool, a new search tool called the Rental Assistance Finder. Okay, the Rental Assistance Finder. I've got the URL pulled up right here. You'll need to go to consumerfinance.gov. Probably easier just to look up in Google or your favorite search bar, Rental Assistance Finder. And what this does is it just pulls together the sundry assistance programs that are out there. There's a lot of money available to you and to your residents, if you're a renter, available to you if you can just submit the proper documentation, dot all the I's, cross all the T's. A lot of people are not getting to the final goal line there because they're not getting all their documentation together. But if you go to that search assistant, Rental Assistance Finder, you're going to find for your... I looked up Dallas County, for example. There are five or six different programs available. The city, the county, Garland, which is part of Dallas County, Irving, which is part of Dallas County. So give that a look and look at other options to eviction. Stay tuned.
Your challenge is that you don't believe you can be rich, is that you don't believe you can retire within 5 years. That's half of your challenge. And until you can come up with that belief system, until you can reconcile that in your mind, you won't be willing to take the steps necessary to get there. So you need to get in here and meet some people.
Join us for the next free workshop and meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited that will share Del Walmsley's belief system and empower you to take the steps you need to be successful. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought three brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have three of her inherited properties and then three properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into three, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb, and today on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, we're going to explore whether we as investors are creating problems in the housing market, or are we solving problems? And just ahead of the break, as a side item, a little bit of news for you. I'm sure you're aware, especially if you are an owner operator of residential rental real estate, whether that's houses or apartments. I'm sure you're aware that the CDC eviction moratorium officially expired just yesterday. I was watching the news just to see what they were reporting about that, and the numbers are all over the place. I've seen 6 million people are at risk of eviction, 7 million. I saw 11 million. So I don't know what the number is. I do know that none of my residents are at risk because they've been paying, they've been in a good place. We've had no issues. And to the notion of eviction, I view that as a last resort. And there are options out there. And I just want to reiterate one of those newer options that was put into place by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. That's the CFPB. It's a search tool called the Rental Assistance Finder. They just stuck this out there. Go search for that if you are having issues, and you can put in your state, your county, you can dial down. It will pull up any of the entities that are providing funding right now. Get you to their website so you can get started, help your resident get started. If you are dealing with issues on back rent, give that a look. Now, if you have any questions today, the number here in the studio, it is 855-497-4335. Again, 855-497-4335, or send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. So again, last week we were looking at an article that was questioning whether multifamily investors should be concerned or worried about the demand for single family in the market right now. And there was a line in there that said that advocates of affordable housing are blasting the single family investor for removing housing stock from the market. So are we causing problems? Well, let's take a step back and let's think about what a lot of people picture when they picture the landlord. It's not friendly Andy and his wife, owner operator, dealing with their self-managing their properties around DFW. They're picturing typically what we would call the slumlord, miserly, cheap, doesn't fix anything. That classic slumlord. Those are the guys that are going to be rushing to the courthouse to do that eviction. Now, I would add to that stereotype, maybe there's a new variety out there. That's that hedge fund or that pension fund that is buying up those single family houses as well as apartments in order to create the return for their investors or their pension fund. Of course, we did see that last week that 80% of the single family stock, anyhow, is in fact owned and operated by people like me and my wife, like the investors at Lifestyles Unlimited that buy the single family properties, what they refer to as mom and pop operators. And that in itself could be a stereotype, sometimes used as a pejorative. I do prefer to encourage the mom and pop investors out there to be sure and operate as a business, have procedures in place, follow a process, have the right documentation, do the same thing every time for each one of your rental properties. But thinking back to that stereotype, either the classic slumlord or that now hedge fund or pension fund, what about the rest of us that are those single family owners? Some may be in that slumlord category, but most are not going to be. Most are not going to be. And I'll tell you that the Lifestyles Unlimited investors that I know are anything but that classic slumlord stereotype. We follow an entirely different model. Let me tell you a little bit about the Lifestyles Unlimited investor. And among other things, we follow the model of best product, best price. It's just a pithy little phrase that gives some direction to what we're doing. And we as investors, we understand that this business, because it is a business, it's going to run a lot smoother if we put some money into it. This is not a no cash deal situation. We have money that we put into these properties. We get a lot back. It is an investment. Like I said, we're not just doing this for purely altruistic reasons. There is a profit motive. But by putting money in, the whole business runs a lot more smoothly. That's the best product part of the equation. And by best product, what are we doing? When we buy that house, we're going to go in, or apartments, that applies there as well. We're going to go in and fix, rehab, renovate everything that could possibly break or already is broken. Or maybe he's outright missing, but anything that could break in the next 3 to 5 years. And aside from, and typically we're thinking mechanicals, the AC system, the plumbing, maybe you've bought a house that has the old cast iron, maybe you go in and replace that. We're going to fix and rehab all of those structural and mechanical things, but we're also going to update the property cosmetically. And in so doing, we're putting the best product on the market, and we're going to market it at the best price. We'll be up close to the market. Maybe a little bit below. You know, I've done a few turns this year as residents of mine have gone out and bought houses. Folks that have been with me for long periods of time, and they're finally recognizing, hey, this is a good time to buy because of the low interest rates. And they've been with me long enough to have a lot of them rehab their credit. So they're doing that. And when we go to market the properties for release, we're not pushing the rent extremely. We're just a little smidge below. And because of that, holy cow, the demand that we're getting for those properties is huge. And the result of that equation, best product, best price, equals best people for us. I think I mentioned on prior shows, dozens of applications. We'll toss out a few, we'll work through those, and we'll find those that are the best fit, that meet the that filled everything out completely, first and foremost, and gave me all the documents I need in order to make a decision, just like those of you that might be working with residents to get that rental assistance. A lot of people are being denied because they're not submitting everything. Be complete with what you do. But because we get those best people in there, best product, best price yields the best people. Number one, we are giving a good family a great place to live. Now, that goes back to that question, are we taking housing stock away or are we helping? We are giving good people a great place to live. And these good people, the best people we can find, what do? Well, they take care of the property, number one. They let me know when there is a maintenance issue so I can have it resolved before it causes any issues, if there are any. Now, we've gone in and rehab, so that's typically not a problem. And then they reciprocate in terms of taking care of us, meaning they pay the rent. I will tell you from just conversations I have had with my peers at Lifestyles Unlimited over the course of the pandemic, which has now run over a year now, we have had less impact as a whole from this eviction moratorium that has just expired. Why is that? Our residents love where they live. They love how we operate. We operate as a business. We provide them the best product at the best price, and they know they're not going to find anything better on the market. They want to stick around. So they take care of the property, and they make their payments on time. Far less impact on the Lifestyles Unlimited investor group from that eviction moratorium and everything else we've seen around the pandemic than if you reach to the broader investor group out there. I guarantee it. Now, when we come back, I want to dive a little bit deeper into the Lifestyles model so that you can understand just what we're doing when we get into that house or that apartment complex. So stay tuned.
When you look at the effects of what happened in 2008 and you compare it to what we are hopefully coming out of right now, real estate has definitely shown its resiliency. It has provided for people not only a place to live, but a place to work, a place to raise their children, a place to teach their children, a place to prepare all of their meals.
And that's really where the rubber meets the road, is that there are two things that people have to have, and they strive very hard to have them, and that's a roof over their head and food on the table. And if you are investing in something related to either of those two things, you are going to have a winning strategy. And in addition to that, you're providing something of value to the people around you, and creating a win-win situation while creating wealth and passive income for yourself is the best life you can get.
Real estate is resilient. You should have real estate in your portfolio. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Andy Webb. If you've got questions today, the number in the studio is 855-497-4335, or send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. So we're talking today about whether we are giving a service to our community, or are we causing problems as single family investors and as multifamily investors when it comes to the housing stock in particular, which really points to single family. And that's where a lot of the conversation that I've seen as I've done my research comes from, is the fact that affordable housing advocates think that we, the single family investors, are pulling inventory from the market. So their affordable housing family now has one less house available to them to purchase, in essence. Is that what's happening? Now, in large part, they're focused on the big guys, those hedge funds, those pension funds that are really going in and taking massive swaths of property at a time. Different animal altogether. And in fact, it's interesting, a lot of those entities are not really necessarily looking at some of the houses that you and I are looking at. And in fact, they might even be going after new builds. I was reading an article where a builder down north of Houston built 100, 125, 145, something like that, single family houses targeted simply as rentals. They were not building them to add to the housing stock. Okay, got it. That's an argument for the affordable housing folks out there on the purchase side. However, they rented these houses out. Well, that certainly is important as well. And once all the houses were rented, they did then sell that to one of the big hedge funds, marketed it, took bids, winner paid a hefty price to pick up this whole subdivision. So it's an interesting play that we're seeing out there. A lot of investors are, in fact, building on land in an effort to address inventory as rentals. But you and I, what are we doing? Let's dive a little bit deeper, as we said, into the lifestyles model so that you can understand what we are doing. And I'm going to mention at this point as well, if you want to learn more about what we're doing, we'll get into some information, some content here at an upper level. But if you want to learn more, I would encourage you to invest just an hour and a half of your time, very short period of time, and attend our free workshop. You can learn more there about what we do as single family and multifamily investors and what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. Lifestyles, if you're not familiar with the group, is an education and mentoring organization. We take you, if you're completely unfamiliar with investing in real estate, and we hold you by the hand and we get you into that first deal and help you learn how to become that real estate investor. That's exactly what I did nine plus years ago. I had zero knowledge, came from no background related in remotely to real estate, had owned a home as a homeowner once upon a time, and was a renter at the time myself. But fast forward, and my wife and I have built up a nice portfolio of single family houses and are now in multifamily as well. So you'll learn more about that at the free workshop. And both tracks, in fact, that you can pursue as an investor. But go to lifestylesunlimited.com, and there's a button at the top where you can learn about the free workshop and register. And it's truly a workshop where you can ask questions. It's a live event. It's not just some pre-recorded YouTube video or something like that. So it's definitely worth your time. Let's now dive a little bit deeper into the lifestyles model, because this will help address that question, whether we are taking away from the market or actually helping the market when it comes to affordable housing inventory. So what we're doing commonly, both on the house, single family house and apartment side, is we're seeking those assets that are distressed. Distressed meaning there's something wrong with them. Either the asset is distressed or perhaps the seller is distressed. Right now, thinking about some of the rental owners out there who do have those residents that are not paying and have not signed up for those free rental assistance programs, they may be distressed and wanting to sell. And they're going to have to sell at a discount. That's what we like. Those distressed properties sell at a discount. Those distressed owners sell at a discount. That goes back to that profit motive that I was talking about. We capture equity by virtue of the fact that we're buying at a discount. It's as simple as that. I may, out of thin air, create 20, 30, 40, 50K in equity, captured equity from the outset just by buying a single family house. Distressed, I get that equity capture, and that's already wealth that I've built. That doesn't even go into the other four or five ways that we make money on houses and apartments. So we find these distressed assets, and we buy them. And like we said earlier, we renovate, we rehab those, we fix those up. And if it's apartments, we may need to reposition those a little bit. And then we rent the unit out or the units, refinance, pull our money back out if we can. Certainly if we've bought a house with something called hard money, we do a rate and term refinance. These are details you'll get into further with your education, but we'll do that rate and term refinance, get out of the high interest bridge loan or hard money loan into that 30-year mortgage, which right now is phenomenally low. And then we sit on that house for anywhere from 3 to 5 years, maybe a little longer, maybe a little shorter. And then we sell. Now, why are we selling? You got this great asset. It's cash flowing. Why are you selling? And remember, one of our rules to investing at Lifestyles Unlimited, that Del Walmsley, the owner that founded the company 30 years ago, he said, the deal has to cash flow or don't do the deal. So we're enjoying that cash flow. Why would we sell? Well, we already mentioned that equity capture that we got by virtue of buying right, buying at a discount. We want to cash out that equity capture. And over that 3 to 5 years, well, the residents have been paying down the mortgage for us. And as part of that mortgage payment, they're paying principal on our behalf. We've built up equity through that principal pay down. And of course, over time, what do we see in the market? We see just natural appreciation. The market's going up. Hey, we have inflation in the market right now, period. We know the prices just keep spiking and spiking and going up and up and up. But over in a normal market, we're going to see prices double every 20 years or so. And of course, if we're thinking about apartments on top of that, we have something called forced appreciation, whereby making some changes to the operations within the property, we're able to drive that value up. We're forcing that value up. We're forcing appreciation. Those four reasons: equity capture, equity buildup, appreciation, and forced appreciation. Those are the reasons why we sell. We want to get that money back out so that we can then reinvest. We want to turn that money The faster we can turn it, the greater the velocity, the better off we are. And we turn that cash into more cash flowing properties. So that cash that we're getting in the door, let's call it $300 a month, suddenly we've doubled it to $600 a month by virtue of selling and reinvesting, thinking about single family houses. So we're selling in 3 to 5 years. And by the way, a lot of folks will start with single family. It's a little more digestible. A lot of people can get their head around it. A lot of people are homeowners. They understand the house, right? They're in a house. They'll start with single family and then move up, just like my wife and I, into multifamily. And when you get into multifamily, again, it's the same thing. We're buying, renovating, repositioning in apartments in particular, renting those units out. We may have to clear out the units, drive it to zero vacancy in order to rebuild, renovate, rehab, get it rented, and potentially sell or refinance very, very early in the process. That's what's happening. So we're selling in 3 to 5 years. We're going to come back to that here in just a moment. Let's take a look at some of the improvements that we are making to better these properties. And we're going to start with single family, call it home improvements. So what are some of the things we're doing? Well, that distressed asset that we've bought. What have we bought? We may have bought an inherited house. Five siblings inherited a house after the last of their parents has died. No one knows what to do with it. No one wants to do anything with it. They're squabbling. We solve their problem by taking that off their hands. Inherited house. Maybe it's a hoarder house. Picture that. If you've ever watched those hoarder shows, think back to those. What did that look like? Yes, we buy those. Maybe it's a drug house. Cat or dog house. Or cat and dog house. Heavy smokers. Maybe just simple deferred maintenance. Maybe a light lift, maybe a heavy lift. We'll come back to that lift and talk about that when we return.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the five ways to make money with real estate: cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single family and multifamily case studies. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Whether we as investors are helping or hindering the affordable housing market. Now, what are we doing? That's what we've been talking about, especially as investors at Lifestyles Unlimited. We're going out, we're finding distressed assets, distressed sellers, or some combination thereof, getting an asset, either single family house or apartment under control for a discount because of that distressed nature there. Need to sell fast, needs work, both. And we go in and we improve that property, whether it's a house, single family house, duplex, triplex, quad, 5 units, 10 units, 100 units, several hundred units. Yes, we take down apartments that are multiple hundreds of units. Great opportunity from a economies of scale perspective, of course. And you'll learn about that when you go to your Lifestyles Unlimited education, either the free workshop I mentioned or get out to the 2-day seminar. Great opportunity there. Let me just give this website quickly. If you go to Give Me Total Freedom, all written together, givemetotalfreedom.com, you can learn about becoming a financial freedom program member. And as part of that, you can go to that 2-day seminar that you'll hear us talk about on the show, whereby day one, 8 hours devoted to single family investing, day two, 8 hours devoted to multifamily investing. Great opportunity to learn, and you can go to those as many times as you need. And I find that over the years, my perspective changes. So it's good to go back, see what's new in the market, number one, but also to fine tune whatever it is I'm thinking about at the time as I've developed as an investor or shifted gears perhaps from single family to multifamily. Well, there my perspective has certainly changed. So go check that out. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. If you do want to join, the membership is massively discounted right now. Use the promo code SAVEBIG, all caps, and you can get a 2-year membership for just $297. Great, great deal. SAVEBIG, SAVEBIG, all caps. A great place to go to learn about some of the things we're going to talk about now. So when we take down that distressed property, it's talking about a house first and foremost, and I hinted at this ahead of the break. Some of the more distressed assets are going to be more distressed for a number of reasons. It might be a hoarder house. They just haven't ever taken care of it, and on top of that, they've added to the damage by their habits. I've picked up a number of hoarder houses over the years. I love them. Now, you don't always know what you're getting into under those piles, but you buy accordingly. It might be an inherited house where the siblings just can't decide what to do, and parents were great. They've now passed on. Parents didn't ever update the house. So we're looking at a 60s build with 60s carpet and 60s wallpaper and 60s everything else. Those avocado green appliances that are still working. You know, you want to go ahead and update those. Any number of things. And it could be a very heavy lift, a very big lift in terms of the cost to do that renovation. Now, the way we buy with hard money, that construction loan that helps us get into the property and address these repairs, that's actually going to shortcut us. It's going to lighten our cash into the deal, essentially. So if it's a heavy lift, you might be sitting there thinking $60,000 in renovations. I can't afford that. We have that covered through the hard money loan. Alternatively, it may be a very light lift. I've done both over the years. 60, 70K lifts. I've done 6K, where it's a very minor, essentially a glorified turn. Deep clean, maybe replace a few things, not just a lot to it. So you choose, as the investor, what level of rehab you want to get into, but we may be addressing structural things, roof, foundation, perhaps the plumbing, electrical. You know, in fact, if you add the HVAC to those four, that's our big five that we talk about on the show. The big five, kind of heavy, outside of the normal cosmetic budget, heavy lifts that we may see. And then there is the cosmetic updating. Again, that house from the 60s, still stuck in the 60s. I love turning those houses around. I love seeing the change when we go in with those granite countertops instead of that aged formica, going with stainless steel or black appliances, going with all new flooring, that new palette of paint on the walls, painting the exterior. It just blows me away to see that turn, and it blows the neighbors away. In fact, you know, we'll go in and update the exterior trim as well, giving the essentially a facelift for the neighborhood. And I can remember one year I got a thank you card. I got a thank you card in the mailbox at the house from a neighbor for painting the trim. It had been a garish pink color along the eaves, just hard to look at. Well, we went in with something more modest, more neutral, and the neighbor was elated. You know, our neighbors have stopped by, in fact, to thank us for cleaning up the property, getting rid of the overgrowth. I've seen pools with trees growing in those. We go in, we take care of that stuff. And then they stop and they look at the inside. They see that avocado oven is gone and been replaced with stainless steel or black trim appliances, and they're thrilled. We've improved the neighborhood for them. New appliances, new HVAC if we need to. That's better energy efficiency for that house. You know, we may go through and do some things that are not quite seen, blow insulation into the attic, very inexpensive, to make that house much more bulletproof in terms of energy. Great for your residents. And then when you sell in 3 to 5 years, what are we introducing back into the market? A house that no longer has foundation problems. A house that has a functioning air conditioning unit. A house where the cast iron deteriorating plumbing has been repiped as PVC. Everything's been cosmetically updated. Best product, best price. We have the best people. They've maintained that well. We may have a little bit of a light lift prior to listing. And now what do? We're introducing back, releasing back into the market, a wonderful, affordable house. We're not buying those houses that are going to value at $300,000, $400,000. We're buying in those price points that speak to that affordable housing crowd. So we're making the neighborhood look better. We're making the neighbors happier. They will thank you. And in 3 to 5 years, we're not doing this purely out of altruistic grounds or reasons. We're going to go and we're going to sell and reintroduce that house back into the market. That's what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited, turning every 3 to 5 years. So to that question posed by, or that statement made early on, we looked at that in the first segment, referencing an article we talked about last week, whether multifamily investors should worry about single family. The statement was made in the course of that article that affordable housing advocates are blasting single family investors for removing stock from the market. I would say we're doing the opposite. We're taking those things, those distressed assets that most homeowners are not going to know what to do with. They're not going to want to set foot into that cat or dog house or that heavy smoker house. And if they do, they're going to conclude, I just don't have the money to renovate this thing. There's no way. That's where you and I come along, and we do that very thing. And that's houses. Now, of course, apartments, when we go in and renovate those, we are not going, that's not anything that an owner-occupant is going to buy. But we're driving value there as well. We're driving affordable housing. At Lifestyles Unlimited, we're fundamentally focused on that workforce housing. Not the tippity-top stuff, not the bottom stuff. We're in the middle. We like to play in the middle. And the apartments that we're going in and renovating are the workforce housing. That is exactly where we need that affordable housing. We're taking, again, here, just like those houses, distressed assets that people don't want to live in because they've been beat down. The maintenance is deferred. Maybe the crowd has gotten a little rough in that apartment community. So what do we want to do as investors? We want to drive cash flow and we want to drive wealth building. And for apartments, we do that by driving the bottom line, the operating income. Just simply relates to how apartments are valued. I won't get into that today. You can get into that in the free workshop that I mentioned. Again, go to givemetotalfreedom.com to learn more there. But you'll talk about how, in day two, how apartments are valued totally different from single family houses. And we can either increase revenue or decrease expenses to drive value, profit to that bottom line, drive up that operating income, which will drive up that value for us, the investors. Well, of course, in order to increase revenues, what do we need to do? Well, we have to increase the rents is one way to go. How do we get there? We improve the property. We take what they call the classic unit, classic meaning from the 60s or 70s, maybe even 80s, and we bring it into the 2020s. People love that. We create community. We create community in these apartment communities by addressing the outside as well. Maybe put in a playground equipment. Grill stations, rehab that green pool. I've been to apartment complexes where the pool is green. You do not want to go near that pool. We go in and we renovate that. We add a dog park. We create community. And we help that community once we've built that. We saw this a lot during COVID. A lot of the multifamily lead investors worked very closely with their residents to set up the very payment plans that I talked about in the first segment and to help secure those rent support payments, again, that we talked about in the first segment. It goes on. We reduce expenses as well to drive that bottom line. Water conservation programs, low water landscaping, improved ventilation on the roofs, improved insulation, changing out windows. All of these things we do to drive the bottom line, which creates as well a better community. Better affordable housing for the broader community. We are improving neighborhoods and actually helping to add inventory back into the housing stock. You can be a part of that solution. It is not a problem that we are creating. We are solving problems as investors at Lifestyles Unlimited. Again, if you want to learn more, go check out the free workshop or go to givemetotalfreedom.com. I thank you for listening today. This is Andy Webb. You've been listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.